Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, July 6, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, it's already hump day. I think I like four-day work weeks.
Oh, that is the best news of the day yet.
And this podcast is coming out at 6 a.m., so there's probably not a whole lot of news before that.
5:55.
That's true. Sorry, I apologize.
All right, Fun Home is going to perform a one-night concert in Orlando.
Yeah, well, obviously, I hate the events that led to this. I was really excited yesterday when the Broadway production of Fun Home announced that in just a few weeks, the current Broadway cast would be coming down here to Orlando's Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts to give a one-night-only concert performance of the Tony-winning musical benefiting Equality Florida and the LGBTQ community of Orlando. All nine of the musical's current onstage cast members will come down for the Sunday, July 24th concert, including Tony winner Michael Cerveris, four-time Tony nominee Judy Kuhn, nominees Beth Malone and Emily Skeggs, and the current small Allison, Gabriella Pizzolo. 100% of the net proceeds from this concert will benefit the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting and other Equality Florida efforts. This event, thankfully, is being made possible in part by Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, the producers of Fun Home, and the Wyndham Orlando. James, we often talk about the generosity and the community and the camaraderie and the commitment of the greater theatrical community, and this is just another example of that. The Dr. Phillips Center, which is just down the street from Pulse, has become the home for these large gatherings that you've seen on the news, and a lot of these individual memorials for each of the victims have popped up on the lawn in front of the Dr. Phillips Center here in Orlando over the past few weeks. So I'm really grateful that they found a way to work that out and to benefit the community in yet another way. I've already put in my press requests on both the Broadway production side and the Orlando side of things. So hopefully I'll be able to get some interviews and some audio from the concert for both Broadway Radio and Broadway World later this month.
If you're going to interview some of the folks from Fun Home, can you do one thing for me?
I will try.
So you can go up to them and say, hey, Fun Home, you just finished a successful run on Broadway. Where are you going now? And get them to say, I'm going to Disney World.
Normally, that might actually be fine. Given the seriousness of the concert that they're going to be doing, might not be appropriate. But but we'll see. I'll read the room. I'll read the room and see how it is.
You know, I miss those Disney World commercials. You don't see them anymore.
No, just after the Super Bowl, usually. That's it.
Did they do them again after the Super Bowl this year in the last couple of years? I don't remember seeing them.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. They don't always do it with – they used to do it only with the Super Bowl MVP, but they've kind of gotten away from that since I believe one year it was Ben Roethlisberger who had recently come off an accusation of sexual assault, so they went to somebody else. But, you know, whatever. Go Disney World.
Our listeners are like sportball. When they're talking sportball again.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, we better get on to the weekly grosses. What's happening over in the money side?
Well, the winter and spring breaks and holidays tend to bring tourists to New York and therefore Broadway. However, the 4th of July weekend tends to do the opposite, as tourists and New York City residents often get the heck up out of town and head to a beach somewhere by the ocean or the lake or wherever, which in turn obviously negatively impacts Broadway's weekly grosses. This year, however, is a little weird, though, because the 4th was on a Monday when most shows are dark. It also effectively split the holiday weekend over two reporting periods. So the normally significant decline in grosses was kind of mitigated a little bit. So while Broadway's total gross was down week to week, it was up year to year, and it was up dramatically from 2014. Granted, those weeks' reporting included full 4th of July weekends, unlike this year. Last year, the week that ended on July 5th saw Broadway take in $25,117,617 on 28 shows, while 2014, whose corresponding week ended on July 6th, was at $24,620,107 on 30 shows. This year, Broadway brought in $26,033,651 on the strength of 29 shows, and overall tickets sold were up 3,100 from last year and nearly 9,500 from 2014. So with the Monday holiday and kind of being spread out over the 2 weeks, Broadway didn't take as much of a hit on the 4th of July weekend as it normally would. Now, all that being said, it is still a pretty stark decline from the previous week, with the grosses in total dropping by 9.99%. No real changes north of a million, with Lion King and Hamilton both above 2 million, and Wicked, Aladdin, Book of Mormon, School of Rock, Waitress, and Paramore in the club as well. And even though An Act of God continued to be the lowest grossing show on the boards last week, it was one of only 8 shows to post a number in the black, picking up $41,367. 3 shows saw declines of over $100,000 last week, but to be honest, I'm not too concerned about any of them, as they were Wicked, Aladdin, and Beautiful, which was the only one of the 3 that didn't make over $1.5 million last week. So $100,000 for Wicked and Aladdin is really a drop in the bucket. Also of note, when it comes to ticketing data, James, last Friday, the Schubert Organization released a really interesting blog looking into some of their data on telecharge ticket buyers who purchase tickets to new shows. We'll have a link to that blog in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, because it's a really interesting but wonky read to kind of go along with the grosses as you look back and forth between those two things.
Oh, we should have Oliver Henry on to talk about that. We should chat with him about the telecharge analysis. All right, Edward Snowden is making his virtual off-Broadway debut opposite Daniel Radcliffe in the Public Theater's Privacy.
You're right. This is a British show, so it is probably Privacy. Previews began yesterday for the new play Privacy, or Privacy, whichever side of the Atlantic you're on, starring Swiss Army man Daniel Radcliffe over at the Public Theater. And I saw that movie, and it is really weird, but really good. Anyway, and according to the New York Times, in addition to Rachel Dratch, Reg Rogers, DeAndre Aziza, Michael Countryman, and Rafi Barsoomian, the show will co-star CIA whistleblower / wanted traitor Edward Snowden. Apparently, the show's creators James Graham and Josie Rourke wanted Snowden to participate in the show when it ran in 2014 at London's Donmar Warehouse, where Rourke is the artistic director, but they were unable to get in touch with him through intermediaries and lawyers while he's somewhere hiding in Russia. Now, however, Snowden is on a bit of a publicity tour to put into context the concepts and information found in the classified documents that he leaked back in 2013. So, on Saturday, June 25th, just a couple weeks ago, Graham, Rourke, Radcliffe, and Snowden got together via video chat to record a short scene to be worked into the climactic moment in the show. Privacy is described as a work of documentary theater where the actors speak actual words from exclusive interviews with politicians, scholars, and journalists. Inspired by Snowden's revelations, Privacy explores our society's complicated relationship with technology and data through the funny and heartbreaking travails of one lonely guy arriving in the city to figure out how to like, tag, and share his life without giving it all away. Snowden will appear via that pre-taped segment and will discuss the concept of privacy with Radcliffe, who will be performing the other side of the conversation live. So it's one of those weird things, or if you don't get the timing right, it could be wonky. But anyway, the pair will also perform a passage from The Tempest, especially Caliban's Act 3 speech about 1,000 twangling instruments. James, not surprisingly, the U.S. Department of Justice has no comment on Snowden's involvement, since he is currently accused of violating the Espionage Act and has been granted temporary asylum in Russia since 2013.
So I'm going to go see this. I'm going to go see the show in a couple of weeks, and we can talk more about that then. But it is a hot ticket. It is sold out. There are no tickets to be had. So I wonder what's how it's, you know, this is pre any reviews on it. So we'll see what the reviews have to say.
And one thing I will say about this, aside from Snowden, is I really applaud Daniel Radcliffe for doing things that are really outside the box. I mean, he honestly could have retired after the Harry Potter movies and never worked another day in his life and lived off the money he made from that franchise. And he has consistently tried to push himself as a performer, whether it was doing shows on Broadway or doing movies that were outside of the box. I mentioned the movie Swiss Army Man. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I said it is absolutely bonkers, weird, and crazy. It's really good, but it's weird. So I applaud him for doing things that are challenging, not only as a performer, but challenging in terms of subject matter. And I really hope that he continues to do Broadway. And I did see him in How to Succeed, and I think he was undeservingly robbed of a Tony nomination, because I thought he was really great as Finch.
Yeah, Peter Felicia and Michael Portantier and I talked about Daniel, you know, how many more times is he going to come back to Broadway and not be recognized? But it doesn't seem to be the thing that motivates him. So no, I'm really glad that he is coming back. Next up, we have Jenna Fischer is going to lead Steve Martin's media shower at the Old Globe.
Yeah, yesterday the Old Globe announced that Emmy nominee Jenna Fischer, known to millions as Pam from The Office, will star in Steve Martin's new play Meteor Shower, opening later this month. She will be joined by Greg German, Alexander Henriksen, and Josh Stamberg. All four have theater cred, Fischer starring in Neil LaBute's Reasons to Be Happy at MCC. German, known for turns on Ally McBeal and Once Upon a Time, appeared on Broadway in the original cast of Biloxi Blues back in 1985 and replaced in the 2008 revival of Boeing, and most notably and most exciting for me, originated the role of John Hinckley in the legendary original 1990 Playwrights Horizons production of Stephen Sondheim's Assassins. Still to this day, one of my favorite cast albums. Seriously, him and Annie Golden singing Unworthy of Your Love is both remarkably beautiful and remarkably terrifying all at the same time. But I digress. Henriksen was last seen on Broadway in Fish in the Dark, and Stamberg was a part of the off-Broadway production of the Pulitzer Prize winning play Disgraced. Meteor Shower at the Old Globe is a co-production with Long Wharf Theater in Connecticut, where it will play after the San Diego run, and is directed by Long Wharf artistic director Gordon Edelstein. The Old Globe run will begin performances on July 30th and will play through September 11th. The show will then begin performances in Connecticut on September 21st.
Wow, that's really something. I wonder if I'm going to be able to get up to Long Wharf to see it. I have to check that out. So next up, NPR examines the connection between musicals and politics.
Yeah, there are a few podcasts that I listen to almost as soon as they hit my feed, and one of them is the NPR Politics podcast. Normally, they publish weekly roundups on Thursday, so imagine my surprise when a special episode popped up today entitled simply Musicals and Politics. In the episode, members of the NPR Politics team, who just so happen to be musical theater fans, are joined by NPR movie critic Bob Mondello, who has written often about how there is nothing worth knowing that you can't learn from a musical. I wholeheartedly agree. Obviously, they talk about Hamilton and its connection to modern politics, but they also explore other shows, including The Music Man. Guess which presidential candidate they equate to Harold Hill, along with Call Me Madam and its connection with Dwight Eisenhower. They also discuss connections between the musical Dreamgirls and especially the big screen adaptation and the 08 Obama campaign. It's a really cool listen. If you are listening to this podcast and are at all politically minded, this is something that you will most certainly enjoy. So check that out. James, I know you had a busy day. Did you get a chance to listen to that episode yet?
No, I haven't been able to, but I'm going to push it up to the top of my list tomorrow.
It's very cool. It's a lot of fun, and it's always interesting to me as somebody who works in the theater community to hear people who aren't in this community talk about this community. And it's really cool when it's people that I respect as being really smart and I look to for information, kind of diving into the things that I live and work in on a daily basis. So it's a lot of fun. And if you are a theater fan and you like politics, this is as perfect as a connection as you can get.
Well, I think that's a great way to go out. So why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something That Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks so much for taking some time to spend Wednesday with us, and we will talk to you tomorrow.